from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
this is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headline. Halal product cooperation increases Mexico's trade value with Indonesia. Pope's visit to Indonesia gives positive image to Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati, now the news in detail. The Indonesian and Mexican governments continue to make efforts to increase trade value of both countries. This was conveyed by Mexican Ad Interim Charge Affairs in Indonesia, Alonso Martin Gomez Favilla, in an interview with RRI Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Monday. Alonso Martin explained one of the efforts to increase Mexico's trade figures with Indonesia is the Memorandum of Understanding or MOU on cooperation in quality assurance of halal products between the Indonesian Ministry of Religion and the Mexican Secretariat of Agriculture and Rural Development, which was signed at the end of 2023. So far, halal certification has been one of the challenges for Mexico to export its products to Indonesia. Alonso Martin Gomez Favilla hopes the MOU can facilitate the export of agricultural, livestock, and fishery products from Mexico to Indonesia. We hope to export meat, agricultural products, and agri-food products to Indonesia, especially because Mexico is a large producer and exporter of agri-food products. We hope this memorandum of understanding can facilitate the entry of Mexican products into Indonesia. Moreover, Alonso Martin pointed out exports of motor vehicle components made in Indonesia in Mexico are increasing at this time. Mexico's automotive imports from Indonesia in 2023 amounted to about $670 million, which rose up to 96.5% compared to the previous year. Indonesia is now exporting more and more car parts to Mexico, as we know that Mexico has been a vehicle exporting country for several years. It has been part of the vehicle export value chain, particularly the United States. Furthermore, Alonso added, in the near future, the Mexican embassy in Jakarta will hold a Mexican Culinary Week, an activity to introduce Mexican culinary specialties to the Indonesian people. The leader of the World Catholic Church has made an apostolic visit to Indonesia on September 3rd to the 6th, 2024. The main expert of tourism and creative economy of the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, Nia Niscaya, in a press briefing in Jakarta on Monday, revealed the coming of the Pope gives a positive image to Indonesia, which is safe with a high interfaith tolerance. According to Nia, this must be maintained because tourism is a matter of perception.
And I think this is something we have to take care of because tourism is again a matter of perception, and security is one of the main elements in the tourism activities.
Meanwhile, on the same occasion, Chairman of the Indonesian Hotel and Restaurant Association DKI Jakarta, Sutrisno Iwantono, pointed out the Pope Francis coming had a significant impact on hotels in Jakarta, especially those around Gelora Bung Karno, where the Grand Mass was held. According to Sutrisno, hotel occupancy rates rose by around 20-25% during the Pope's visit. He hopes that in the future, many events will be held periodically across various regions in Jakarta. Next, we have Human Resources, Education and Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries is organizing another fisheries training titled International Training on Fisheries for African Countries, which takes place from September 9 to the 14, 2024 in Nusa Dua, Bali. The training, which is conducted in collaboration with the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, is a form of South-South cooperation. The ambassador of Mozambique, Belmiro Jose Malate, told Voice of Indonesia on the sidelines of visiting the exhibition of fisheries products in the training opening area in Nusa Dua, Bali on Monday, that Mozambique is very grateful to have the opportunity to participate in this international fisheries training.
Thank you very much for this opportunity. The training is very important for us. For what I've seen here in the exhibition, Indonesia is very advancing in processing fishery products. It's one area where we still need to learn a lot from Indonesia, so the training will be very important.
Furthermore, Ambassador Belmiro Jose Molate also explained that in the field of aquaculture, his site can maximize the existing potential, such as fish, shellfish, and shrimp. According to Ambassador Belmiro Jose, all that comes from the sea can be used as food security for mankind. Ambassador Molate emphasized fisheries training held by Indonesia is very important. 20 participants from 10 African countries, namely Libya, Nigeria, Burundi, Malawi, Ethiopia, Madagascar, Tanzania, and Indonesia. The last national news comes from Indonesian President Joko Widodo affirmed the importance of sportsmanship and fair play to athletes competing in the 21st Aceh North Sumatra National Sports Week, or PON. The message was conveyed by President Joko Widodo when opening the 21st PON at Harapan Bangsa Stadium, Banda Aceh City, Nanggro Aceh Darussalam, as quoted from the YouTube broadcast of the Presidential Secretariat on Monday.
Mari kita semua merayakan pekan olahraga.
Let us all celebrate this National Sport Week in a spirit of togetherness, with the spirit of sportsmanship and joy to achieve achievement that will make the country proud. And by saying Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, I declared PON 21st Aceh North Sumatra open.
Aceh Sumatra Utara, saya nyatakan dibuka.
Moreover, President Joko Widodo further pointed out this National Sports Week is an event to produce the nation's best athletes, world record breakers, as well as prospective gold medalists at the Asian Games, SEA Games, and Olympics. The president also emphasized the National Sports Week is also expected to strengthen unity and reinforce the nation's brotherhood. Now we move to the international news. American and Chinese military commanders spoke in a long-anticipated call Tuesday as the two speakers, I should say the two powers, seek to manage their intensifying rivalry in a contentious Asia-Pacific region and repair lines of military communication severed more than 2 years ago. As quoted by CNN.com, U.S. Indo-Pacific Command Admiral Samuel Paparo and General Wu Yanan, commander of the People's Liberation Army Southern Theater Command, spoke via video conference, according to statements from both sides. The call marks a step forward in what has been a gradual restoration of high-level U.S.-China military communications in recent months as the two sides navigate a host of regional tensions. The Foreign Ministry of Arab Saudi announced that Saudi Foreign Minister Prince Faisal bin Farhan arrived in Cairo on Monday evening at the start of a visit to Egypt. As reported by ArabNews.com, during his visit, the prince will participate in the 162nd regular session of the Arab League, which takes place on Tuesday at the Arab League headquarters. We end the news with Chairman of the Vietnamese National Assembly, Tran Thanh Mon, and Chairman of the State Duma of the Federal Assembly of the Russian Federation, Vyacheslav Viktorovich Volodin, co-chaired the third session of the Inter-Parliamentary Cooperation Committee in Moscow on Monday, highlighting parliamentary cooperation as a highly important pillar that has been developing unceasingly. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, today's commentary highlights 79 years of Radio Republik Indonesia. Advances over time have transformed communication from a one-way pattern to a dynamic, multi-directional exchange. Radio began as a means for people to share information quickly and widely. After World War I, the global expansion of radio broadcasting reached Indonesia. By the start of the Second World War, several radio stations had been established in Indonesia by both Dutch and local Indonesians. The Japanese occupation marked a new era for radio broadcasting. The Japanese consolidated various radio stations in several cities under the control of the Rising Sun government as a propaganda tool. 8 cities became the focus of Japanese radio activities. The atomic bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, followed by Japan's surrender to the Allies, opened a new chapter for Indonesia. Following the proclamation of independence of 17th August 1945 and covered broadcast, news of Indonesia's independence was spread around the world by an Indonesian employee of the Japanese radio station. The event marked the beginning of global awareness of Indonesia and its radio broadcast. Eventually, the heads of the 8 radio stations met and decided to establish Radio Republik Indonesia as a platform to disseminate information about independence and the struggle against Dutch colonial rule. The meeting on 11th September 1945 is commemorated as the founding date of Radio Republik Indonesia. At the time, radio was the most effective medium for disseminating news quickly and widely to all sections of society. Although printed newspapers had begun to appear, limitations in technology and materials, coupled with widespread illiteracy, made radio the most powerful means of the mass communication throughout the country. Radio Republik Indonesia has witnessed the rise and fall of various regimes in Indonesia, from the struggle for independence through the collapse of the old order and new order regimes to the era of reform. The relentless advance of technology has driven Radio Republik Indonesia to constantly evolve and innovate. Today, Radio Republik Indonesia broadcasts not only audio but also video content across multiple platforms. Media convergence has enriched its broadcast with a diverse range of engaging news and information. Content can now be accessed anywhere via digital platforms, social media, or terrestrial frequencies. Without adapting to these changes, Radio Republik Indonesia risks losing its audience and supporters. Happy 79th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia. Although its age is advanced, it must remain youthful in spirit. May the passion of its founders continue to inspire every member of its team. Sekali di udara, tetap di udara. Once in the air, forever in the air. That's commentary read by Ahmad Faisal.
Semboyan kami angkasa warga NKRI, sekali di udara.
Listener, we begin today in history with the event of Guinea's Bissau independence from Portugal. Guinea-Bissau is a country located in West Africa, bordered by Senegal to the north and Guinea to the south and east. The Republic of Guinea-Bissau officially gained independence from Portugal on September 10, 1974. The Declaration of Independence had actually been made on September 24, 1973, but it was not recognized until September 10, 1974. Moving on to an event from September 10, 2003, the Swedish Foreign Minister was fatally stabbed. Swedish Foreign Minister Ylva Anna Maria Lindh passed away after being stabbed while shopping at Nordiska Companiet, a department store in Stockholm, on September 10, 2003. She was stabbed in the chest, abdomen, and arm and died a day later after surgery. Anna Lindh was believed to have been stabbed by a mentally unstable person, but the murder was considered suspicious as some of her security guard were absent at the time of the attack. We end today in history with World Suicide Prevention Day. World Suicide Prevention Day is commemorated on September 10th every year. The commemoration aims to reduce the growing issue of suicide worldwide. According to the National Today website, World Suicide Prevention Day was initiated by the International Association for Suicide Prevention in 2003. The association seeks to raise awareness by educating the public on how to recognize signs that someone may be contemplating suicide. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Mentari pagi, beri salam lagi. Suara burungku sambut hari berganti. Bob Marley masih bernyanyi. Don't worry, oh yeah. Jalani semua dengan apa adanya. Biarlah waktu bicara bahwa takdirnya. Yo, kita lapangkan dada. Sesali, bikin saja happy. Mengalir, nikmati. Jangan bebani hati. Yo, kita nyanyi bersama.
Bawa takdirnya. Yo, kita lapangkan. semudah mungkin. Gak perlu disesali, bikin saja happy. Mengalir, nikmati, jangan menyiksa diri. Yo, kita nyanyi bersama.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
My Indonesia Today is on Indonesia and the United Arab Emirates discuss opening flight routes to Labuan Bajo. Indonesian Transport Minister Budi Karya Sumadi and United Arab Emirates Deputy Minister of Investment Mohammed Al-Hawi met in Jakarta on Monday to discuss the possibility of establishing flight routes from the United Arab Emirates to Komodo International Airport in Labuan Bajo, East Nusa Tenggara. The Indonesian minister stated that various infrastructures have been built and developed in Labuan Bajo, including Komodo International Airport, which currently serves as the air transportation gateway to Flores Island, East Nusa Tenggara. He explained this was carried out to support the tourism potential in the area, which is one of Indonesia's 10 priority tourism destinations. Quoting a press release from the Ministry of Transportation on Monday, Minister Budi Karya Sumadi hopes the United Arab Emirates government could help develop connectivity to Komodo Airport. Therefore, Labuan Bajo would become widely known and attract more international tourists. So far, transportation cooperation between Indonesia and the United Arab Emirates has been strong. Emirates Etihad Airways, for instance, operates flights from Abu Dhabi to Jakarta and Denpasar. Furthermore, Indonesia has agreed upon the 11 points for the implementation of domestic code share as requested by the Emirate, thus enhancing connectivity between the United Arab Emirates and Indonesia. The minister also aims to explore further cooperation between Indonesia and the Emirate beyond the aviation sector. He plans to invite the Emirate to participate in transport infrastructure investment. Labuan Bajo is one of Indonesia's 5 super priority tourism destinations, which are being developed into world-class attractions. These destinations are part of government's 10 New Balis initiative. The 5 super priority sites include Lake Toba in North Sumatra, Borobudur Temple in Central Java, Mandalika in West Nusa Tenggara, Labuan Bajo in East Nusa Tenggara, and the marine tourism area of Likupang in North Sulawesi. That was my Indonesia Today.
Punten Bapak, aduh,
oh, iya,
saya teh mau tanya.
Iya,
kalau tempat ngumpulnya anak-anak Segidok teh ada di mana ya?
Oh, anak-anak Segidok. Ya, mereka tuh kumpulnya di Saidan.
Saidan?
Kamu kalau dari sini, langsung menuju Gondomanan aja mbaknya ya.
Mohon.
Gondomanan itu nanti belok kanan.
Mohon.
Nanti ada anak nongkrong di sana, anak-anak yang nongkrong.
Mohon.
Mbaknya tanya situ aja sama anak-anak itu.
Sayidan ya, Pak ya?
Iya, benar banget.
Sayidan.
Iya.
Hatur nuhun, Pak.
Oh iya, welcome.
Of Indonesia.
Listener, if you are a culinary lover, the city of Makassar in South Sulawesi, Indonesia should be your travel destination. Because the city is rebranding itself as the city of eating good. Makassar Mayor Dani Pomanto recommends a 24-hour culinary tour if you come to Makassar. Dani further explained, in the morning around 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. is the time to eat songkolo. This dish is made from rice mixed with dried fish and roasted coconut. From 6 to 8 a.m. is the time to eat yellow rice. Then 8 to 10 a.m. for Coto Makassar beef soup. Then 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. it's time for Palu Basah or offal soup. From 12 to 3 p.m. there are various seafood dishes for lunch. At 3 to 5 p.m. it's time for Konro rib soup. Then for dinner, there are various dishes such as soup saudara or spicy beef soup and mititi noodle. For those who like to stay up late and want to eat Coto, there is Coto Bagadang. From the various food specialties of Makassar, this time we introduce you Sup Konro or Palu Konro Rib Soup. It originates from Bugis and Makassar traditions. The word konro itself in Makassar language means ribs. This soup is usually made with beef ribs or beef. The color of the soup is blackish brown because it uses kluwak as a seasoning. Besides kluwak, konro soup also uses other spices such as coriander, a little nutmeg, turmeric, cinnamon, tamarind, lemon leaves, cloves, and salam leaves. When you eat soup konro, it tastes savory, herb-rich, and spicy. This Makassar food is usually eaten with burasa and sliced ketupat rice cake. Nowadays, you can find a dry variation of konro called konro bakar, which is grilled beef ribs with konro signature spices. Konro bakar is usually served with a separate soup. Konro is easily found in many restaurants in Makassar. The price is relatively affordable, around 30 to 50,000 rupiah per serving. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you. Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Hello, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, which introduces Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in Indonesian language. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is
Di Bali,
which means in Bali. You will listen to a conversation about
Ngaben adalah upacara pembakaran jenazah. Ngaben adalah upacara pembakaran jenazah.
Which means Ngaben is a cremation ceremony. The conversation is between Chris, a vlogger from Australia, who was talking to a hostel owner when a Ngaben parade is passing through in front of the hostel and a temple. The hostel owner explained the meaning of the Ngaben ceremony to Chris. Let's listen to the conversation.
Ramai sekali pura di sana. Ada acara apa?
Ada Ngaben, Pak.
Ngaben? Acara apa itu?
Ngaben adalah upacara pembakaran jenazah umat Hindu Bali.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic.
Ngaben adalah upacara pembakaran jenazah. Ngaben adalah upacara pembakaran jenazah.
Which means Ngaben is a cremation ceremony. I will say it 2 times slowly, and please repeat after me.
Adalah. Adalah.
Which means be.
Upacara. Upacara.
Which means ceremony.
Pembakaran jenazah. Pembakaran jenazah.
Which means cremation.
Umat Hindu. Umat Hindu.
Which means Hindus people.
Di Bali. Di Bali.
Which means in Bali.
Ngaben adalah upacara pembakaran jenazah umat Hindu di Bali. Ngaben adalah upacara pembakaran jenazah umat Hindu di Bali.
Which means Ngaben is a Hindu people's cremation ceremony in Bali.
Ramai sekali, ramai sekali.
Which means very crowded.
Pura, pura.
Which means temple.
Ada, ada.
Which means there is.
Acara, acara.
Which means event. In this conversation, you hear the expression
Ngaben adalah upacara pembakaran jenazah umat Hindu di Bali. Ngaben adalah upacara pembakaran jenazah umat Hindu di Bali.
Which means Ngaben is a Hindu people's cremation ceremony in Bali. In the expression, there is the word
adalah, adalah.
Which means be similar to is, am, are, was, were, been. The word
adalah, adalah,
which means be, marks a definition of meaning of something. Therefore, in the sentence, the word
adalah, adalah,
which means be, connects to the word Ngaben with its definition, namely
upacara pembakaran jenazah umat Hindu di Bali. Upacara pembakaran jenazah umat Hindu di Bali.
Which means a Hindu people's cremation ceremony in Bali. Another example. Let's listen to another use of the word
adalah,
adalah,
which means be to defend something.
Jenazah adalah tubuh orang yang sudah meninggal. Jenazah adalah tubuh orang yang sudah meninggal.
Which means corpse is a dead man's body.
Umat adalah para pengikut suatu agama. Umat adalah para pengikut suatu agama.
Which means umat is a follower of a religion. One of Bali's tourist landmark is
Pura. Pura,
which means Hindu's temple or simply temple.
Pura
is a worship place for Hindus. You can find a lot of
Pura, Pura,
which means temple in Bali with distinct structures and ornaments. Before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the conversation.
Ramai sekali pura di sana. Ada acara apa?
Ada ngaben, Pak.
Ngaben? Acara apa itu?
Ngaben adalah upacara pembakaran jenazah umat Hindu Bali.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about
ngaben adalah upacara pembakaran jenazah. Ngaben adalah upacara pembakaran jenazah.
Which means ngaben is a cremation ceremony. We hope today's edition will be useful for you who want to know more about the Indonesian language. I am Ahmad Faisal.
And I am Konita.
Sampai jumpa.
Terlena dalam mimpi panjang.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's Music Corner presents a Malay song entitled Nasib Perantau or The Fate of the Traveler by Usman Bengkalis. The song Nasib Perantau, composed by M. Hasan, tells the story of a person who migrates far to a foreign region. He leaves Bengkalis, his beloved hometown, to change his fate and hopes to return home soon. In the evening, he remembers his mother's message to return home as soon as possible. Well, listener, here is the Malay song entitled Nasib Perantau by Usman Bengkalis. Enjoy the song.
Mati di rantai. Jikalau tidak sayang, jikalau tidak mati di rantai.
Voice of Indonesia.